you very much for having me. Appreciate the messages last night and this morning. Outstanding. I'm going to get the videos of it, get back, post them online, let people see it. Speaking of videos, our table is out here, and it's full of DVDs and some things that I've done recently, like in the last year, are out on the table. Who believes in UFOs? Who's too scared to raise their hand, but they believe in UFOs? Let me tell you something. The United States Air Force believes in them. In fact, our pilots have been seeing them since World War II. Okay? Recently, the Pentagon released three videos from pilots, forward-looking video cameras, of three incidents that took place 2004, I think 2014, and more recently. And the United States Air Force has admitted that the videos are genuine. They show ships that do things that nothing we have can do. They defy the laws of physics. Okay? Now, if you're interested in what that means biblically, that's out on the table. Because everything that happens in this world has to have an answer here. Or it didn't happen. Right? Okay? If it's not here, I don't believe it. If it's here, I want to know. I have an inquisitive mind. I've been reading UFO and Bigfoot books since I was like 8. Okay? I have an inquisitive... I heard of Momo the Monster when I was a boy. Scared me to death. Because I thought he was going to reach his hand in my bedroom window. But I wanted to know what these things were. And I have an inquisitive mind. And I asked God questions. And preacher last night, Brother Craig said it last night, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So I didn't know what they were, but I wanted to know. And the answer's right here in the book. Okay? And I found answer. I mean, I stay up late asking God questions. 1 o'clock in the morning, God showed me some things last year. So those are on the table out here. And all of our videos and books are free of charge. You can take as many as you want. Hand them out, give them out, leave them in bathrooms. A guy, I have no idea who he was, where he lives, but somebody went to a laundromat, put my DVDs out, and this man went to that laundromat doing his laundry, saw the DVDs on the folding table. As he's folding his clothes, he reaches up and grabs one, I don't know, whatever it was, it caught his interest, and he put it on top, and he took it home. He was a single man, older man, and a Roman Catholic. And he watched the DVD, and he got up and went to his car, went back to the laundromat, got the rest of them off the table, and had a Mike Hoggard marathon that night. A binge watch, they call it. And he wrote me a letter, and he said, I got saved, I got me a King James Bible. Praise the Lord. So, I appreciate what you're doing, recording the sermons, because then the messages that are here can go outside these walls, which is where all the lost people are. Amen? So, all the videos out there are free. Now, I do have, for your love offering, $48.88, I have these Joyce Meyer CDs. My wife saw me yesterday at the Goodwill store or something like that, and I just picked up 4 or 5 of these, and I bought some books at Goodwill a few months ago of hers, and I'm building a case against her. She's a witch. 2004, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch ran a whole big spread about Joyce Myers, because she lives in our county. And all of her houses that she has, she ain't paid property taxes on. She owes over $1 million property tax and won't pay it, because it's under the ministry. Okay, so anyway, they said that in her previous life, before she went to church, she was into astrology, witchcraft, everything like that. I submit to you that she's still in it. Thank you. I'll take one amen. She's still in it, still practicing it. It's a form of witchcraft called the law of attraction. And it basically says, if you think positive thoughts and say positive words, the universe then returns back to you what it is you said. But if you say, think negative thoughts and say negative words, then the universe will return negativity to you. It's a bunch of garbage, but it's witchcraft. So before I can say she's practicing witchcraft, I want the evidence. And I've already found part of it. I went through one of her books one day, spent the afternoon, had a headache at the end of the day from reading her junk. Okay? But she's practicing and teaching a form of witchcraft, and I'm going to warn everybody against her, which will probably end up in court, but I don't care. Amen. Pray for our ministry. Pray for my son-in-law, Michael. We fed over 1,600 families this last time, and the devil rewarded him by running over him with a cement truck while he was in Nairobi. And he thought he was going to die. I thought he was going to die. And God brought him back to us. But I know what it's like to go out there and be attacked. And he's dealing with that right now. It makes you not want to go back. Okay? So pray for him. Pray for our ministry. We've had a lot of challenges this last year. This last year was probably the second hardest year I've had in the ministry. We had a bunch of people leave because sin moved in, Jezebel moved in, and I don't want to get into all that. And then 8 years ago today, we buried our granddaughter. So that's on my heart and on my mind today. But anyway, look up on the screen. Let's get into the Word. Matthew chapter 7. In fact, Matthew chapter 7, Deuteronomy chapter 32, Galatians 3, Ephesians 6. Turn there. Keep up. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Who wants to be a wise man? Say amen. Amen. Which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came. And I'm telling you, the floods are coming. Read the book of Psalms. You'll see it. The floods are coming. But it's not a flood of water. It's a flood of ungodly men and a flood of evil. And we're about to be overrun with it. So if you're in the ark, you're safe. If you're not, get in. Amen. The winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the what? Sand. My daddy, for his living, when he married my mama in North Little Rock, Arkansas, got a job for the Corps of Engineers, moved down to Pine Bluff instead of working for the paper mill, which is why I'm not still in Arkansas. But he got a job working for the Corps of Engineers, and they moved him up to St. Louis, and he was the dredging inspector on the Corps of Engineers dredge boat, the Kennedy. And what they did, what my daddy's job was to sound out, he was dredging inspector. He took a boat out with sonar and sounded out the river channel to see where the sand was, where the sand built up was. They dredge that and get that out of the way so the barges can go up and down. Okay? So the Corps of Engineers maintains the river systems of the United States of America. And this dredge boat, I mean, it's a huge operation. Is a neat deal because it's called a dustpan dredge. And they'd drop a dustpan about as wide as this church down into the river channel, and they'd have cables on the front of this boat, and they would just sway that boat back and forth and move it up the river and suck up all that silt. And the thing was, is that sand moves constantly. So whenever they got done dredging, Dad would go back, sound out the channel to make sure the channel was clear, go to another place and sound out the river because the sand was constantly moving in. The idea about sand is it constantly moves. You can't trust sand. It's ever changing. The rock doesn't change. When God wrote the Ten Commandments, He wrote them in sand. No, stone. And wrote them front back. Because you cannot add to them, you cannot take the words back off of the rock. Amen. I got your attention. Amen. Now turn to Proverbs 24. Give you 8 seconds. That's how long it takes to ride a bull. Right? I'm giving you 8 seconds. Done. Proverbs 24. My son. This God talking to you. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Don't mess and meddle with people who build their churches and their families on sand. Because they won't be in the same place a year from now. They'll be different. Right? Now, look up on the screen. You've heard of CRISPR? Gene editing. Okay, I won't explain it this morning. I know about it. I know how it works. But I won't explain. I won't take the time to explain it. But the bottom line is, they've been working for years learning the genome, the DNA. DNA is a book. Psalm 136, verse 16. In thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned when as yet there was none of them. David is describing DNA 3,000 years before we even knew what it was. They knew it was seed, and every seed in the world contains a bundle of DNA. They knew that part of it. They didn't know how it works. Now we know how it works. So they spent, George Bush sent out money to all these universities saying, we'll pay you if you can map out the human genome. Because they learned that they could read DNA like a book. Isn't that amazing? In thy book, all my members were written. God's showing up, isn't he? Okay? So, because they can read it like a book. And now that they've learned how to read it, they spent millions and millions and millions of dollars learning how to write it. No, let me say that again. Rewrite it. So they look in the human genome and they find things that they don't like. If it's in your genes, who put it there? In thy book, all my members were written. So if you end up with seven fingers, God wrote you out seven fingers. If you have bald head, God said, at age, what age? At age 25, we're going to write it out. Erase it. God did that. Amen? He said, you don't need it. Right? God did it. God put it there, and God put it there for a reason. It's God's reason. It's God's book. And everything He does is to draw us to Him. Amen? So science, now that it knows how to know, that it knows how to read, and CRISPR gave science the edge that it was looking for. They're using nature. And I won't get into it, but they're using nature. There is a germ that knows how to cut and edit DNA. Take out what it doesn't like and put it back together. And so they use this little germ called CRISPR to seek out in your, and you've got billions of base pair connections which make the letters of the words of DNA. And they load up that germ with exactly what to look for. It scans your, it reads your DNA, it reads the whole thing till it finds the chapter and the verse of what it wants to take out. And it sends out a Cas9 enzyme which cuts it. Automatically now your DNA goes into panic mode and it wants to repair itself. It wants to write back what was taken out. So then the CRISPR gene intervenes in that, disallows the gene to repair itself, either puts the two ends of the DNA back together again, or while it's got it apart, it injects a new gene sequence. Then they use what's called a gene drive. See, if you change one cell, that cell's going to duplicate. The change is permanent, by the way. The change is permanent. Because once it's been made, it can't be unmade. So once they edit it, that cell, when it duplicates, the new cell will have the new genes in it that the old cell has. That takes a while. So they have what's called a gene drive. Let's not just change one cell and wait. Let's change every cell in the body. This is a body. This is a body. Are you hearing me? Okay. So when you hear scientists say, we have the ability to change everything, believe them. Because CRISPR is easy to do. North Korea can do it. That should scare you. Iran can do it. That should scare everybody. Russia can do it. China can do it. The United States has rules in place about what can and cannot be done. China says, we don't care. So they've already had two twin babies born who were genetically altered before they ever left the womb. That's an abomination. We're playing God. So let's change. If mosquitoes carry malaria, people die from malaria, so let's edit the mosquitoes. We don't know what we're doing. Let's change bees. Let's change the flowers. Let's change all the plants. Monsanto, let's change all the plants. Bees are programmed to recognize certain types of pollen. If that pollen is different, they won't recognize it. Now we have a problem. So we're thinking we're God now. So the gene drive dilemma, we can alter entire species, but should we? A new genetic engineering technology could help eliminate malaria and stave off extinctions if humanity decides to unleash it. It's going to happen. It's already done. It's already done. You see that? See the red eyes on that mosquito? That mosquito was not... God did not write red glowing eyes into that mosquito's genome. Man put that in there. That'll freak you out if you're camping one night and this red-eyed mosquito comes flying at you. You're saying, honey, we're going home. Let's go home. Change everything is the idea, including all human beings. Brother Jason, you and your wife were my heroes because you went through what we went through. And when my wife found out she had cancer, I was in a hole. Because, stupid me, I decided to do a series on gene editing while my wife has cancer. Stupid. And I'm going, at some point, Brother Ellis, they're going to cut your insurance off. Because they have a cure for your disease. All it takes is to edit your genetics. And you say, but excuse me, God gave me this. I'll keep it. Sorry, we won't cover you. And stay out of our hospitals. So instead of you getting fixed, you're going to die. And your family's going to watch you do it because you decided not to take the cure. That scared me. So here's how the technique works. Cell is transfected with an enzyme complex. A specially designed synthetic guide molecule finds the target DNA strand. An enzyme cuts off the target DNA strand. The defective, listen to how they're saying it. The defective DNA strand is replaced with a healthy copy. I've listened to YouTube videos of people who do CRISPR on a daily basis. The lady that invented it, Jennifer Doudna, her last name is spelled D-O-U-D-N-A. The lady who invented CRISPR has got DNA in her name. Anyway. And I hear them talk about how good this is and about how it's going to change things and how people are going to be cured and diseases are going to be eliminated and we're going to fix problems all over the world and we're going to feed hungry people and we're going to help the aging with their Alzheimer's. We're going to do all these great things. And nobody stands, and they, for 5 minutes they'll say, now that does have the potential to be used in a wrong way, but we're going to hope that that doesn't happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, right? So now, take your Bible, Genesis 3:1. You got 8 seconds. You got to have your hand up while you do it. Satan's pattern from the beginning. The Bible has patterns in it. So as you read it, you recognize how God works. You recognize what God does and what God will do versus what God will never do. If anybody says, well, God's like this, if it ain't in the Bible, they're lying through their teeth. God's not like that. Read your Bible. Satan is like this. Read your Bible. You'll find out how Satan works. We're not ignorant of his devices. From the beginning, Satan has always showed that he always attacks and seeks either to alter or eliminate the source of truth. The wheat and the tares. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle. Pay attention to that word. We're going to see it later. Than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Question God's word. Yea, hath God said. Did he say it? So the United Methodists come out with a Bible. Only back in the 80s, in the 90s, come out with a Bible. Category one, these are the words that we think Jesus said. Category two, these are the words that Jesus might have said, but he might not have said it. Category three, an addition to the Gospels of words that Jesus probably, there's no way in the world that he said it. Who are they? But the liberal Methodists telling us that Jesus did not say these words? That's yea, hath God said. So this is why now those people don't believe what they read in the Bible. They don't believe it. Because they were told by the experts, by the Bible colleges, they were told that those words don't matter. That's exactly what the scientist looks for when he examines DNA. He says, these words are bad, we're going to take them out. We're going to replace them with our edition of it. That's change. That's stand. Yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, and did not specify. Very generic. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. That was a lie. That was made up. Women in the Bible represent churches. Churches. Eve is a poor example of a church who will add to God's Word. But God didn't say it. God was angry at the prophets in the book of Ezekiel chapter 13. He said, for they have said, thus saith the Lord. God said, I never said it. I never said that. God did not say that. Neither shall ye touch it. So she added her rules, her stipulations, her guidelines, her doctrine, she added that to God's Word, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not. All he did was add one word. Altered the text. You can alter a person's entire outlook of who Jesus is by adding one letter to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Now, as you read the Bible, you think Jesus is a lesser God because that one letter. Does it make a difference? You bet it does. For God doth know the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes... See, now he's offering her the replacement doctrine. The replacement. Everything the devil takes out, he's got something to put in its place. That's where I'm going today. Matthew 13, turn there. Ride that bull. Come on, whip and ride. Ha! Get along, little doggies. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 18, verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. Mark says Satan. Luke says the devil, I believe, same parable. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. The devil always attacks the Bible, the Word of God. Always. Either to alter it or completely remove it. And it doesn't matter to him which is which. Because if he can alter God's Word, he's won. And he knows it. Because people won't believe it even. The people will believe something that is not true. Like, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So, the wicked one catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Then on down, verse 37, he gives another parable. In fact, in Matthew 13, all the parables are about DNA. They're all about seed. And seed is nothing but a bundle of DNA. A book that God wrote for every living species on this earth. And God separated all of the species after their kind. And a dog is not a cat. A cat is not a whale. Yet. Verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed, you know what that is, don't you? You holding it in your hand. Let me tell you something. It's no good while you still got it in the bag. Take it out and sow it, amen. Pass them sermons out. Put those on Facebook, gals. Put your church sermons on Facebook. Well, nobody will listen. How do you know?
How do you know? Somebody will. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's us. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The DNA is different, is it not? The words are different. That's what makes the DNA different. Okay? The tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the what? Imagine where we are. Can you not see that we are in the end of the world when now we have learned to alter the genetic structure of every living species on this planet? We are at the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. So why did God tell them to wait? Why did God tell them to wait? Right now, let me do this different. Let me go back 40 years. 40 years ago, you could go to a Free Will Baptist church and probably find a decent church. You could go maybe to a General Baptist church, maybe even a Southern Baptist church. And maybe you would find a decent church. That's because the changes hadn't quite moved it. And remember, He's subtle. Which means He does not create the change all at once. So He goes out and sows the tares, but nobody knows it right away. Till the laborers go out and they notice. They're looking at, everything's green. From a distance, everything's the same. Until the workers in the field got up close and they were looking at it and they're going, that ain't wheat. I've worked with wheat all my life. That ain't wheat. Brother Craig, do you know the difference between oak and pine?
Yes, sir.
Cabinet maker, right? Used to be. I probably couldn't tell you the difference. I never worked with it. I can tell you about paint. I can tell you about insulation, and I can tell you about the Bible. Because I know the difference. Because I used to be over yonder on the other side. And God brought me back. Okay? So when God started dealing with me, Mike, He said, look at the differences. So I started comparing my King James with my wife's NIV that I bought her that she hated. I spent 50 bucks on that Bible. That's hard money back in 91. Amen? Bought her an NIV. So I started comparing and I went, that ain't the same. So you look, and if you know the difference, and I've done this at churches before, and I've had people guess, and a guy said, the one on the right is the tares. How do you know? He said, I can tell by the husk. Oh. Well, that man's obviously worked with wheat before. But for a while, when they're starting out, you cannot tell the difference. And then they grow. Maybe somebody smart can tell the difference. Can you tell the difference? By the cover. Holy Bible? Holy Bible. What I have up there is two different Bibles. One's a King James, one's not. What the cover, I'll go ahead and tell you, the cover on the right is the New King James Bible. And I'm telling you, they ain't the same. They're not the same. All you got to do, see, He said, wait till harvest. So right now, I mean, we're starting to pick up on some things. We kind of know the difference between a good church and a not good church. Right? So if you sit in the pews and they don't say half, you get up. If they don't say thine, you say, honey, let's go. Okay? Because it makes a difference. Brother Michael, tell you, I set the Kenyans up. I did this all week. I laid out a foundation before I sprung it on them. And I said, I learned some Swahili last night. Amen. I said, Mwana wa Mungu. And they said, yeah, Son of God, Mwana wa Mungu. I said, amen, Jesus is the Mwana wa Mungu. Yeah, amen, He's the Son of God. Because they speak English too. They just don't speak my English. They think I have an accent. I lost my accent when I left Arkansas. Yeah. Hey, at least I don't talk St. Louis, Mike.
Anyway.
So I said, Jesus is the Moana Wamiungu. And they went, no.
I said, what did I say? I knew what I said. They said, that's Son of Gods. Like many gods. Miungu instead of Mungu. I went, oh.
Said, who was in the fiery furnace? Moana Wamiungu, right? Amen.
I said, open your Swahili Bible. The Catholic Church got involved in the Swahili Bible. 1970s. And said, we need to make this ecumenical so that all the churches who speak Swahili can use the same Bible. So they wept, Brother Lonnie, when they opened their Bibles and they read Moana wa Miungu, Son of the Gods. And that pastor stood up and he said, I've heard enough. And I went, oh no, I'm going to get shot. And he said, I realize for 20 years I've been preaching out of a book, but I've not been preaching out of the Word of God. Does it make a difference? Does that make a difference? Who's in that fiery furnace? The Son of God or Son of the Gods?
Well, Nebuchadnezzar had multiple, and he didn't know. Bull.
Yeah, right.
Bull. That's the same bull. You're right. Bull. Yep. He knew who he's looking at. You will too when you stand in front of him. Amen? Notice what color it turns. Black. Dark. Evil. Bad. The wheat turns the color of the sun. Amen? Amen. Alright, Galatians 5:9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That's why I said in John 1:1, if you add a God to that, it's altered your entire context of who Jesus is. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees. And you preached on bread. I like bread. Biscuits. You left biscuits out. I was counting it. You left biscuits out. But of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said, watch out. Doctrine of the Pharisees. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. Pharisees said, we're going to keep the law. They were lying through their teeth. Nobody kept the law. Except one. So, Satan's subtle nature shows that the changes never occur all at once, always slowly enough to not be detected. So look up on the screen. Look at that verse. Examine it very carefully. Because everybody knows John 3:16, right? And how does it sound? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Okay, but in the previous verse, He did say eternal. Eternal is everlasting. Everlasting is eternal. So you notice one change in that verse, but it really doesn't make a difference. Now, I can tell you that that's kind of how DNA works. There can be multiple ways in DNA of making the same protein. It's how God designed it. If you notice comparisons between Old Testament verses and how they're quoted in the New Testament, you will notice differences. Those differences were given by the Holy Ghost, so we know that they are inspired. And we know that it is another way of saying the exact same thing. So, did I get this verse out of a King James? The one you see up on the screen. Did I pull that verse as it is from a King James Bible? No, I didn't. I got it from the 1885 Revised Version, which was Westcott and Hort's masterpiece. Because the King, you see, you got to know something about this Bible. It is the King's Bible. It belongs to the monarch of England. And King James set what was called the Royal Letters Patent. Patent. You get that? Basically saying, this Bible and its words belong to the monarch of England. Whoever's sitting on the throne rules over this Bible in the United Kingdom. Because years ago, the Sodomites sued Cambridge and Oxford. They administer the copyrights, the patent in England. They sued Cambridge and Oxford because they said the word Sodomites makes us look bad. No. Okay, pride parades make them look bad. Sodomy makes them look bad. Two men holding hands makes them look bad. And kissing in public makes them look bad. But they are sodomites. So they said, we want that changed. And the courts of England ruled it is not Oxford and Cambridge's choice to change those words. It can only be changed by the king. Because they're his words. Where the word of the king is, there's power. You know that verse, don't you? Okay? So, as long as there's a monarch in England, it's protected. Until the 1880s, and the king, I can't remember who it was, but he said, let's update the these and thous. Let's modernize the King's Bible. So he put Westcott and Hort in charge. They destroyed it. Even though John 3:16 is almost identical, there are over 30,000 changes in the New Testament alone in the 1885 Revised Version. Westcott and Hort were on the translating committee. So they did not issue it as a King James Bible or a King's Bible or an authorized Bible. They issued it as a completely different Bible because it was significantly different than the 1611. They're not the same. That's what the king said. The Revised Version of 1885 was the first post-King James Version modern English Bible at a time to gain popular acceptance. It was used and quoted favorably by ministers, authors, and theologians in the late 1800s and early 1900s such as Andrew Murray and Clarence Larkin. Let me tell you about Clarence Larkin, who wrote Dispensational Truth, where he did not see what he wanted in the King James. He went to the Revised Version because it said what he wanted it to say. Like Genesis 1, the earth was without form and void. He did not believe that. He believed that there was a pre-Adamic earth that Satan destroyed. So he went with the earth became void. That is a different reading and a different interpretation. So now it opens up something that is not in the Bible. Anywhere. And if it's not, Brother Jamie, if it's not in your genes, you ain't getting it. So you can stay under 6 feet tall the rest of your life. That's your mom and daddy's fault. If my daddy would have married a taller woman, I'd be 6'8". Okay? The Revised Version of 1885, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whoso believeth in Him should not perish, but He believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Revised Standard Version, the update of the Revised Version, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Is that accurate? Why isn't it? We're His sons. We. To them gave He power to become sons of God. Whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. The Revised Version becomes the RSV, which then years later becomes the New Revised Standard Version, the gender-neutral Bible. And another offshoot of the RSV was the English Standard Version. Y'all heard of that one, haven't you? You fought that battle, didn't you? And you lost. But you won? Forgive me, I'm sorry. But you found out, fellas, that changed, that you thought would never change. Brother Lonnie, you asked me to come to your camp meeting, what, 2000? First year you did it? So that was 20 years ago, and there are guys that we stood with 20 years ago that we don't stand with anymore. Guys that left, guys that got caught in sin. The devil got them, didn't he? They changed. And we can't stand with them anymore. As an alternative to the New Revised Standard Version in 2001, publisher Crossway Bibles, this from Wikipedia, released its own Protestant evangelical revision of the RSV called the English Standard Version. This version was commissioned for the purpose of modifying the RSV passages that conservatives had long disputed, such as Isaiah 7:14's usage of the phrase young woman, changed back to virgin, Unlike its counterpart, it used only a small amount of gender-neutral language. Now, let me read that again. The English Standard Version didn't go back and correct all of the gender-neutral language. It left some in. Why? Why? Deuteronomy 32. Why did they leave some of the gender-neutral language in it? Why would they do that? And if you don't believe me, I'll show it to you in a minute. Deuteronomy 32, verse 31. For their rock is, that's 8 seconds, for their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. See, James White, y'all know him? He's a scholar. And he wrote a book called The King James Only Controversy. And he said, you're an idiot. You're a dummy. You're ignorant and unlearned people who stick with the King James. He hates King James people. Because I had a pastor, I was up studying last night trying to get spiritual. A pastor friend of mine from Minnesota sent me a YouTube video or a sermon audio sermon of James White ridiculing King James. And I wrote him back. I said, thanks a lot, I'm trying to be spiritual. Now you got me mad and in the flesh. Gender neutral. Why? The president of the Southern Baptist Convention, mega church pastor, said, I will no longer use gender inclusive or gender exclusive language in referring to transgender people. I'll change for them. If they come in, say they're a woman, I'll call them Mrs. Why did he do that? Why did he say that? Because he draws from a different vine. Deuteronomy 32, 31. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. They agree with me on this issue that their Bibles and the United States Patent Office and Copyright Office agrees that the New King James is not the King James, because they were able to copyright the New King James, meaning it was significantly different. And they had to prove it. And they did. So now they get a copyright on it. Even our enemies themselves being judges, for their vine is the vine of who? In the fields of? So, a good tree produces good fruit. A corrupt tree produces. Jesus said, I am the vine, I am the true vine, is what he said. True vine, meaning I don't have any mistakes. I don't have any mistakes. I don't lie. I'll tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. Okay? And by the way, when it comes to your genetics and what's going to make you die, you're going to die anyway. Right? Might as well go out the way God said. Their vine is the vine of Sodom. So, what does the vine of Sodom produce as fruit? Sodomites. And pro-Sodomites. And pro-people, men who wear that which pertains to a woman, and women who wear that which pertains to a man. See, we got picky with it a long time ago, but now we understand why God said that. Because now it's you just one look and you go, that ain't a woman. That ain't a woman. And then as soon as they talk, yeah, I was right. My gaydar went off and I know who they are. Don't tell me you don't have one. So the vine of Sodom has reached inside the churches. Brooke Westcott, Professor of Divinity, Cambridge, Bishop of Durham, Fenton Hort, Professor of Emmanuel College, founding member of an intellectual secret society known as the Cambridge Apostles. I looked them up last night. The Cambridge Apostles, History of Cambridge University's Elite Intellectual Secret Society. According to Wikipedia, undergraduates being considered for membership are called embryos. And that was in the 1800s. And are invited to embryo parties where members judge whether the students should be invited to join. The embryos attend these parties without knowing they were considered for membership. Becoming an apostle involves taking an oath of secrecy and listening to the reading of a curse originally written by Apostle Fenton John Anthony Hort. These two men were heretics. Heretics. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. What's everybody going to get? Revelation 13. A mark. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they are such that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. God said that. I didn't. When you realize they're playing for the other team, but they got your jersey on. Go Hogs! I was talking about me. I don't know what you had in mind, but... For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own, what? Belly is where your emotions are. You have two nerves that come down from your brain called the vagus nerve. And they reach your stomach, your heart, your lungs. It's what causes you to breathe heavy when you're in love. Remember that? Right? Okay. But that's where the seat of emotions are, the bowels. They serve that. That's their God. Whose God is their belly, Paul said later. And by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. By what? Good words. Now better, I'll save that for later. So now, Codex Sinaiticus, Codex Vaticanus, disagree with each other in the four Gospels 3,036 times. Dean Burgon, who was a scholar in the 1800s, examined both texts and said it is easier to find two consecutive verses in which the two manuscripts differ, the one from the other, than two consecutive verses in which they entirely agree. The Sinaiticus, this was BBC documentary, I watched this. They said they did a deal on the Sinaiticus document, and they said the Sinaiticus is the world's most altered Bible. When the scholars examine the Sinaiticus, they can see what looks like, Tischendorf said, it looks like there is a war between editors going on the document. One would make an alteration, another guy would come along later and say, that alteration is not correct, it really should say this. And that is all throughout that whole document. Whatever that document started out being when it was first written, it didn't end up that way. It was sand. Sand. Vaticanus also was doctored over the years. One scribe wrote in the margin, fool and knave, leave the old reading and do not change it. That's written in the Vaticanus document. In 1521, a man by the name of Bombasius was consulted by Erasmus. You know who he is? Textus Receptus. Erasmus, Textus Receptus. He wanted to examine the Vatican text. So he wrote a letter to Bombasius. Tell me about it. Does it contain the Johannem Common, which is 1 John 5:7? For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That's in the King James. It's not in the English Standard, the NIV, the New American Standard, the Common English Bible, the Revised. It's not there. They took it out. Took it out. So now, let me ask you a question. Can you prove, with a modern Bible, our doctrine of the Godhead as being one without 1 John 5:7? I dare you to show me a verse that says it the way 1 John 5:7 says it. You can't. And if you can't prove it, then we're not supposed to believe. It ain't there. It ain't there. So Bombazia supplied a transcript of 1 John 4, 1 through 3, and 1 John 5 through 7, 11 to show that it did not. So Erasmus said, I'm not using the Vaticanus Greek text. He refused. Spanish scholar by the name of Sepúlveda in 1533 cross-checked all places where Erasmus' New Testament, Textus Receptus, differed from the Vulgate, Latin Vulgate, Catholic Bible, and supplied Erasmus with 365 readings where the Codex Vaticanus supported the Latin Vulgate. Isn't that interesting? The Vaticanus is the Vatican's Greek text, not ours. Erasmus rejected it. Others rejected it. So while it was difficult to find the exact number of significant differences between the Textus Receptus and the Nestle-Aland Greek text, which is the one out now, Dr. Jack Mormon's book focuses on 8,000 differences between the two. Now, let me show you something. One of these is a gorilla. Stop it. There is only a 1.2% difference between me and this guy in genetics, DNA. But look at the difference it makes. Look at the difference it makes. This guy will never go to heaven. He won't go anywhere. He will die. That's it. God put it in us to seek Him. He wrote it in our DNA when He allowed sin. I mean, how do you think we became sinners? Did we drink poison? We were conceived that way. David said it. We were conceived that way. Our fathers and mothers go all the way back to Eve. And it was in her genes. And she passed it down to us. International Bible Society, Greek New Testament. The Nestle-Aland. Eberhard Nestle was a German scholar. Nothing good ever came out of Germany as far as Christianity is concerned. Nothing. Eberhard, I'm sorry to you Germans. The 20th Nestle-Aland edition, named after Eberhard Nestle and Kurt Aland. When Eberhard Nestle came out with his edition, it was the Nestle Greek text, edition 1. Now, we're in the 28th alteration of the Greek text. 28th edition, with its own copyright. Because it's significantly different than the 27th edition and the 26th edition and the 25th edition, 24th. And here's what they're doing. As the tides change, sometimes the scholar group will add words back into the text that previously they took out. That's sand. So my daddy said, dredge here. They would dredge here. A month later, he would go back. Dredge here again. We already dredged there. It came back. That sand. These and thous. Who needs them, right? Because that's what the New King James did. It just changed the these and thous, right? Matthew 6, 9, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So now say it the other way. This is the New King James. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is it the same? The answer is no. Grammatically, the answer is no. And people who speak other Latin-based languages know it. They know it. Because they call them the Romance languages, not because they're romantic. But they were Roman-based, Latin-based, French, Spanish, some English, Italian, is all Latin-based languages. They have Latin nouns and verbs and so on. Thee and thou is second person singular. Thee and thou and thine, second person singular. You, second person plural. So, the phrase, I will go with thee, in Italian is vero con te. You see the word te there? T-E? You know what that is? It's a form of thee. Te, thee. I will go with thee. If you speak Italian, you still use the proper second person singular term. Meaning, I will go with you. Thee. Singular. Instead of, I will go with you all, which is andrò con tutti voi. It's a different phrase altogether. So, to differentiate between you singular and you plural, we've added sayings like y'all. Did I say that right? I lost my accent. Y'all. Yuns. Yous. Hey, yous guys. See, we had to add that to you. So that the group would know we're talking to the group and not to the person. So does it matter? Is he a multiple God? Or is he... He's thee, not you. So you go to the churches and all the praise and worship services are you. Who they're talking to? Good question. For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. That's 2 Corinthians 2:17. The New King James Version says, we are not as many peddling the Word of God. That's the Nestle-Aland reading. They took the King James in order to copyright it in a distinctively different version. They went to the Nestle-Aland Greek text and used readings from there to alter the text. And by the way, the name Jehovah is not found at all in the New King James Bible. It's seven times in your Bible. Different forms. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. Seven times. That just fits, doesn't it? They took it out. Took it out. The word hell, 54 times in the King James Bible. New King James Bible, 30. They took it out 32 times. No, it's 32 times. They took it out 22 times. They replaced it with grave, Sheol, and Hades. Hades, in Greek mythology, was the underworld. You had to pay a boatman to take you across the river, or you were forced to wander as ghosts, this belief. Hence, at the ambiguous nature of Hades, it was not necessarily a place of torment and suffering, but in most cases, simply the final resting place of the soul. So the New King James Bible did not want to say hell, so they simply said Hades, and Hades is not defined. Go to these lost hillbillies that you've been wanting to see saved for years and say, you're going to Hades when you die. He had no idea what you're talking about, does he? But he knows hell, because he says it all the time. Look, does that look like a place of torment? They're in Hades. That's the god Hades who rules over that land. Ain't right. That's a gorilla. Not a human. Not a man. So let me put it this way. This is this church's DNA, which makes this church a separate and distinct creature from First Baptist over here. Or Assembly of God. Or the Methodist Church. Makes it a distinctive, different creature than the other churches. Grave, Hades, a realm of the dead, taken out of the NIV. Hell's only in the NIV 13 times. Only there 13 times. That's the list of all the places that the NIV took out the word hell. And replace it with grave, Hades, or realm of the dead. That's Jehovah's Witness doctrine. So now, since I brought up the NIV, the one that I bought my wife is no longer published anymore. That was the 1984 NIV. Now we have the 2011 NIV. And the 2011 NIV, the verses are the same as the 1984 version only 60% of the time. Which means almost half of the 2011 NIV is different than the 1984 NIV. That's sand, not a rock. And why is it different? Several reasons. Number one, they went from the 27th edition of the Nestle-Aland Greek text to the 28th edition of the Greek text. Sand. Then, see, remember when Zondervan came out with the gender-neutral NIV in the 80s? And everybody said, well, that's not right. Because that was back in the 90s when homosexuals were still bad and wrong and evil and sinful. But now, Gender Neutral Bible from 2002 sold alongside the NIV, but a failure. It did not sell well because of the outcry of evangelicals to the gender neutral languages. 2011, the NIV combined the two versions into a single edition without telling everybody. With most of the gender neutral language intact. And they did it, and nobody said a word. Because that's the serpent. Since they rejected the gender-inclusive, gender-neutral NIV Bible back in the 90s, Zondervan said, we'll mold them together and not tell anybody. And that's what they did. So has the KJV changed since 1611? In 1993, I think it was, 92, 93... I attended the National Association of Free Will Baptists Conference, Charlotte, North Carolina. And I heard that the esteemed Dr. Piccirilli was going to give a talk on the King James only issue. And at the time, I was not. So I heard the esteemed Dr. Piccirilli say, if you believe in the King James Bible, which one do you believe in? Do you believe in the 1611 edition or the 1620 edition or the 1729 edition? Because they are different. And I went, yeah! Yeah! That's right. He lied. I'm not sure if he lied deliberately, but he lied. So, the American Bible Society in 1851... sent out a report. They investigated because someone said the King James Bible we have, this is 1850, is different than the 1611. So they sent some guys out to look at the issue. You can find this book on, write this down. Those of you who can write, write it down. I'm talking to the preachers. History and Recent Collation of the English Version of the Bible. Write that down. Go to books.google.com. Type that in, download it. It's a PDF. You can download it for free because copyright's gone on this book. So you can have this book. You read it for yourself. It's not very big. It's just a pamphlet. It's all it is. But here's what they said. The English Bible, as left by the translators, has come down to us unaltered in respect to its text. Unaltered. That's a rock. Except in the changes of orthography, that spelling for you hillbillies, which the whole English language has undergone. If you've seen a 1611 King James Bible, you know the spelling is different. But it sounds exactly the same when read. Faith cometh by not spelling. Thank you, God, because I can't spell sometimes. Which the version has naturally and properly been conformed, and accepting also the slight variations and discrepancies which in so long an interval must necessarily arise by reason of human imperfection in the preparation and printing of so many millions of copies. Guys took letters out of a box and placed them backwards on a board, on a slate, and then press them together so they could rub ink over them and press them on the paper. And they got some, look at some of the differences. Hoops of the pillars versus hooks of the pillars. That's the replacement. Shall burnt them, shall burn them. Somebody added the T. They took the T out. Is it the same? Yeah. They didn't take whole verses out. They didn't take 1 John 5:7 out. They didn't take, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. They didn't take that out. They didn't write sons of the gods. That's the differences. Piccirilli lied. Don't know if he did it willingly or unwillingly, but I used to tell the same lie. Then my wife bought me a 1611 reprint King James Bible, and I went, I was wrong. Let me show you gender neutral language. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Well, that's offensive to Madam so-and-so who's had transgender surgery. That's offensive. So, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. That's gender inclusive, gender neutral language. Acts 1:16, men and brethren. NIV says brothers and sisters. That's not in the Greek text. They didn't translate it according to the text. Men and brethren, again, Acts 2:29, NIV, fellow Israelites. That's not in the text. And now, brethren, NIV says, fellow Israelites, said unto the fathers, Moses said, do you see this? See that? That's in the text. They just put dots on the page. They didn't even replace it with anything. That's sand. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. But that's not what he said. And that's not even what he meant. Because the prophet was not ever going to be a woman. So he said he's going to come out of your brethren. Well, that's too masculine. Thank you for preaching that message. You guys be a man. And honor the new man that's in you and deal with that. It's the new man, 1 Peter said, ladies. Amen? Jerusalem Council dealt with the issue of, do we have to keep the law? So, Acts 15:1, they came down from Judea, taught the brethren, and said, except you be circumcised. NIV says, teaching the believers. Acts 15:3 said it caused great joy unto all the brethren. The NIV said all the believers were very glad. At the Jerusalem Council, I guarantee you there was not a woman inside that room. It was the apostles, the bishops, and the elder men seeking God on an important issue. Not a pope. No pope was there. Even Peter was chewed out by Paul at that meeting. I'm sorry, Peter the Pope. No Pope at that meeting. No one person saying this is how it's going to be. God showed them all what it was. And they believed it. Men and brethren, Acts 15:7. Acts 15:13, men and brethren. Acts 15:22, chief among the brethren. NIV, leaders among the believers. Acts 15:23, they wrote letters after this manner. The apostles and elders. Here they said the apostle elders, your brothers, to the Gentile believers, not the brethren. Romans 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. NIV says they are children of God. That is not the same. And it's not even in the Greek text. Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the... So now, can we change our doctrine with these new Bibles to say that God is not going to make us sons of God, masculine. He's going to make us neutral. But who is Jesus? Male or female? Son. Who is God? Male or female? If you say he's a little both, I'm gonna come back and pop you. Or my wife will shoot you. Because she has my gun.
Sons, masculine. God is not part woman. Don't believe that lie. Don't believe it. Because I'll show you. In Revelation 9, you know, those devils come out of the pit. They have the face of a man. They're both, aren't they? You think about that. You think about what spirit is in these new Bibles.
When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, that's the angels. The morning stars sang together and all the angels. They just changed it to angels. Gender neutral.
1 Peter 3:4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Ladies, you got a man in you. Amen? Rather, it should be that of your inner self. That is a lie. That's a lie. That is not the same creature. The inner self is not the hidden man of the heart.
Amen.
If it's not the same creature, it's a gorilla and not a man.
Person pronoun, he. Between the NIV 1984 and the TNIV, which is gender neutral, the personal pronoun he changed to some other word 206 times.
John 1, here's the English Standard Version. The one you fought over. The one they said, it's the same as the King James. There's no difference in it. We want our children to memorize. Okay, have them memorize 1 John 5:7 out of it. Have that contest. Because your kids will memorize it and their kids won't be able to because they can't find it.
It changed it to children of God. Philippians 2:15, it may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. ESV changed it, children of God. They neutered it. Sons of God, 1 John 3:1-2, sons of God. But now are we the sons of God. ESV, children of God, God's children. Gender neutral. My beloved sons, ESV, beloved children. Here, Hebrews 7:5, verily they that are the sons of Levi who received the office. No woman was ever allowed to be a priest. And they put those descendants of Levi.
The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. The wicked shall not humble him. That's they took out son of.
1 Corinthians 4:17, for this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son. In the ESV, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord.
Timothy, do you want to be a woman? Because if you feel like a woman, hey, it's in our school district that boy who put on a dress wanted to go in the girls' bathrooms and girls' locker room. And the school had to let him. And I went to the protest and filmed all the queers and the sodomites and the transgenders there. And I could hear them whispering, he's a conservative. Because they were doing interviews that guy's 17 years old. And get this will blow your mind. He put a dress on, said he was a woman. He was dating a girl who wore pants, said she was a boy. And they were asking him questions. NPR was there, and I was there, had a camera on him. And when they got done asking, I asked him a simple question. I said, can I ask you this? Is it okay for a male teacher to go in the girls' bathroom? He said, no. I said, is it okay for other boy students to go in the girls' bathroom? He said, no, I'm not a boy. And I wanted to say, but you've got a Y chromosome. God said, you're a boy. So, think about it. All we have to do is rewrite the DNA, and instead of giving them surgery, let's rewrite their genetics, change their chromosomes, so that they become and transform into a woman. Think it's possible? You wait.
Sand. Unto Timothy, my son, let me move past this. What time? Oh, good. English Standard Version, they took out the word sodomite and put in cult prostitute. NIV, shrine prostitute. 1 Kings 14:24 said sodomites. ESV, cult prostitutes. 1 Kings 15:12, sodomites. They call them cult prostitutes.
Not the same. You can be a sodomite and not a prostitute.
1 Kings 22:46, sodomites. ESV attacked every place where sodomites is in the King James Bible. ESV took them out, replaced it with cult prostitutes. Thou shalt not lie with a mankind. Mankind. Man what? Because God made every creature after His DNA determines that. You shall not lie with a male. What? A male what? Do not have sexual relations with a man. That's what the NIV says. English Standard Version changes the Son of God in the fiery furnace to a son of the gods and eliminates, takes these verses out. Matthew 17:21, Matthew 18:11, Matthew 23:14, Mark 9:44, Mark 11:26, Mark 15:28, Acts 8:37, 1 John 5:7. And that's just the whole verses that they took out. Not counting the pieces out of verses that actually make a difference. Is He just Jesus or is He the Lord Jesus? So the identity of Him being the Lord Jesus identifies Him as the Lord in the Old Testament. This is Delilah's haircut. The Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And isn't this about money? The love of money is the root of all evil. So the Bible houses, let me tell you what Southern Baptists did. They were publishing their Bibles or their Sunday school literature for years with the King James, and they changed to the NIV. But because they changed to the NIV, they got to pay royalties to Zondervan for every piece of literature that goes out of Holman Publishing Company. So the Southern Baptists said, why don't we quit using the NIV? We got enough scholars in our universities. Why don't we just come out with our own Bible? That way we keep the profits. So the Holman Christian Standard Bible, Southern Baptist Bible, now they get to keep the money. So why did they change it? Money. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. Psalm 12, the words of the Lord are, that's present tense, pure words. They should be tried in the furnace of earth 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I submit to you that the 7 locks of his head represent the Holy Spirit, the 7 spirits of God, because Jesus had, remember what Jesus had? 7 horns. The Bible said they were the 7 spirits of God. So 7 horns. Samson was the type of Christ, and the 7 locks were the 7 horns, which are the 7 spirits of God. And she cut them all off. So that all the spirit's gone. Right? Spirit's gone. And that's the 7 spirits of God right there in Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's the first one. Spirit of wisdom, 2nd. Understanding, 3rd. Counsel, 4th. Might, 5th. Spirit of knowledge, 6th. Fear of the Lord is 7th. By the way, I got this one real good. Because God's my Father. And He whoops me. Amen. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis, write these things that saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. So if you want to lose the spirit, close the book. And then go read an English Standard Version or a Christian Standard Version or a New American Standard Version or whatever you want to read. And you're going to have a different spirit. You're going to bear, you listen to me, you're altering the DNA. And you're going to bear the fruit of the vine of Sodom. I mean, give it time. 20 years ago, we called them out, said they're homosexuals and they're wrong. Then some churches started getting open. Then they started accepting them. And it's all in our county, Jefferson County, Missouri. Churches all over us. We have open sodomites. One guy leads the choir. Him and his boyfriend and his ex-wife and her boyfriend come. And it was brought up. A guy I know preached a message. He didn't know that guy's parents were in the auditorium, and he preached the Bible, preached out of King James, and preached about sodomites and how they're wrong. And that guy's parents came up and chewed that preacher out for preaching that, because their son was a sodomite. So here's how to remove the King James Bible from a church. You want to know where I got this? Years ago, I logged into a Free Will Baptist pastor's exchange board where they wrote back and forth ideas. And one of the topics was how to get your church out of the King James to the New Translations. One pastor, I can't remember his name, because if I could remember his name, I would say it, you'd probably know it. Because he was from Oklahoma, Northwest Arkansas area. And he said, this is how I did it. Step one, with great care and subtleness, insert alternative translations to Hebrew Greek words during sermons and lessons. Say, now the original Greek here says, the original Hebrew says this. Here's a problem. You don't speak Greek and Hebrew. So you didn't come up with that. You read it out of a concordance. But you did it like I did it, because I wanted everybody to think I was smarter than them. Because I am. I wanted people to think that. And on the way home, my wife would say, would you stop giving them Greek and Hebrew lessons? Those people don't want that. Wife mad. Getting home. That's step one. Subtlety. You don't go into a church and tell the board of that church, I only use the NIV. If that's a problem, I'll go look for another church. They never say that. If I took a church, I would go to the board and say, I only use the King James Bible. If that's a problem, I'll go look somewhere else for a church. Amen. So that's why I kept the one I've had for 20 some odd years. Step two, gently infuse one verse at a time from other translations, taking great care to call them better translations. And what did King Ahab offer Naboth? A better. What? A better what? Different vine. Different vine. Step three, randomly but purposely fold in sayings from famous people. Over time, increase the number of famous people quotations while decreasing the number of scriptures you use. This is what Pastor was writing. Step four, gradually allow increased time for the worship portion of your service. God didn't save people by singing. By the foolishness of. So while gradually decreasing the length of your message, after a while, no one will notice. Step five, decrease the lighting over the congregation so that no one can read their Bible during the service. Step 5B, use multiple versions up on the screen so they can't keep up anyway. So who carries the Bible to church anymore? No need for it. So Randall House decided to quit publishing verses in the Sunday school literature. Did you notice? Because they were King James Bible verses. And some pastors complained to Randall House, we don't use the King James. So Randall House quit publishing Bible verses in their literature and wrote a letter and said, we want people to use their Bible. Bull. That's not even true. What happens to a church when the Word of God is altered or replaced? I'm going to give you this in 9 minutes. Number one, you remove the authority of man. God forbid, let God be true. You put in the authority of man. Let God be true and every man a liar. Like me. I'm a liar. I don't say everything right. I don't know everything right. But if I give you this, it's true. So, let's put in the authority. When you remove the authority of God, let's replace it. Remember, devil replaces things. So here's your Pope. Get used to him. Because he's moving in. Catholic Bible Encyclopedia says, on papal infallibility, the truth that the Pope who is vested with the authority of the Vicar of Christ, you know what that means? The replacement of Christ, is divinely preserved from error whenever he defines a doctrine concerning faith or morals. That this special prerogative exists has always been the teaching of the Catholic Church. In 1870, the Vatican Council declared it to be a dogma of divine revelation that when the Roman Pontiff speaks ex cathedra, that is, when he, using his office as shepherd and teacher of all Christians, except us, in virtue of his apostolic authority, defines a doctrine of faith or morals to be held by the whole Church, he, by the divine assistance promised him in the Blessed Peter, possesses that infallibility with which the divine Redeemer was pleased to invest his Church in the definition of doctrine on faith and morals. While he is acting as the teacher of the Church, the Holy Spirit guides his pronouncements, so there is no error or possibility of error. They say he is never wrong, but your Bible is. So I just showed you why the Pope is always right. You show me from the Bible why you believe the Bible is wrong. Show it to me. Read me the verse that says the Scriptures will be corrupted. Show me the verse that says one word shall fail. Show me where it says it shall not be preserved forever. You show me that and I'll believe it. You ain't got it. The belief in the Bible as the sole source of faith is unhistorical, illogical, fatal to the virtue of faith, and destructive of unity. Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 13. The fundamentalist approach is dangerous, for it is attractive to people who look to the Bible for ready answers to the problems of life. It can deceive. Turn to 1 Samuel 13 while I'm doing this. I'll give you more than 8 seconds. 1 Samuel 13. It can deceive these people, offering them interpretations that are pious but illusory. Instead of telling them that the Bible does not contain an immediate answer to each and every problem, without saying as much in so many words, fundamentalism actually invites people to a kind of intellectual suicide, which they hope we do soon. It injects into life a false certitude, for it unwittingly confuses the divine substance of the biblical message with what are in fact its human limitations. They're saying the Bible is human, but the Pope is God. It makes me a little elevated. 1 Samuel 13. I hate every false way because I was there and I believed the lies. 1 Samuel 13, verse 19. If you had an Israelite phone book in the time of the King Saul, you would not find anybody named Smith. Now, there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. What does that mean, Craig?
No blacksmith.
Why? Lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. Who?
Hebrews.
The Hebrews. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines. Where the priest, they worshiped Dagon. And they put on their heads the emblem of Dagon with the open fish mouth, which is the mitre that the bishops wear in the Catholic Church. It's the same exact one. Same thing. That, the thing that hath been is that which shall be, and there is no new thing under the sun. You're going to find it all right here in this Bible. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. So, the Bible Society had a couple German scholars on it, maybe an American scholar or two. And then in 1975, Jesuit priest Carlos Martini was added to the Greek text committee to make sure that they changed it the right way. Way according to the Vatican. That's taking your sword to the Philistines. You think the Philistines are ever going to make you a sharp hoe? Nope. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle, there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. So,
If you stupidly elect, what's his name? Bernie Sanders to be president, you're an idiot. Because he's open about what he said. I'm going to socialize this whole country and we're going to take away every gun. So Trump, and I don't like, but at least this ungodly man had it in him to issue guidelines so that students, if they wanted to pray in a public school, they would, and they wouldn't get in trouble. And Obama never did that. Right. Never did that. Wouldn't even attend a prayer breakfast. Heathen. So it came pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with them. Do you really think this impeachment is about restoring the integrity of the United States of America? It's about destroying it. It's about covering up their crimes. But look at this. So it came past the day of battle, there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and Jonathan, his son, the government had a spear. The government had a spear. Is that what we want? Do we want just the government to have all the guns and the weapons? No. We want them. And we're keeping them. And if you come after them, you will get shot by them. I'm not a violent person. I run from every fight I start. And if you start one with me, I'm going to get my car and leave. I'm not a violent person. But if a man put his hands on my wife, I will blow his brains out. And be justified in doing it, even in the eyes of God. Because God put her under my authority. And under authority, there's protection. And if I don't protect her, I'm not a man. So, the government of the churches is the pulpit. And only the pulpit has a sword. The people don't. They're unarmed. So how can they defend themselves against the fiery darts? And how can they stand? Can't. Can't. Give everybody a Bible. Give everybody a Bible. Give everybody a Bible. Let them defend. Listen, those people in those pews, Steve, has as much right to read and interpret that Bible as I do. And y'all are the ones that are supposed to keep us straight. And say, Pastor, we love you, but you're gone. Because we're not having that NIV brought in here, you slick willy. He will not show up one Sunday and say, I'm passing out NIVs, you either read them or leave. He will not do that. He will subtly bring it in one piece at a time. Watchtower Bible Tract. The Watchtower tells the Jehovah's Witness what to believe. And if you don't believe what they say to believe, you're out. The Mormon Quorum of 12 tells every Mormon what to believe. They write it down and it says, here's what gets me. Joe Smith, which I don't think that's his real name. Joe Smith receives a golden plate with Egyptian letters that nobody's ever seen before, interprets it by himself, issues it as another testament, and the Mormon doctrine says it's right in everything it says. Now we use the King James, and it's right so long as it was translated correctly. Excuse me. You had 54 scholars who knew the languages. Frontward, backwards, sidewards. They knew all kinds of languages. They could read German. They could read Italian. They could read Latin. They could read all these languages. And when they passed it around so that no one group had any sway over the interpretation of any verse of that Bible. And when they run into a problem, they called out for all the divines, that's what they called them back then, and bishops of churches to help them and aid them in translating it so that everybody got in on it. These guys rule the roost. If you don't do what they say, you go to hell.
That's what's replacing our Bibles. That went some amens. Let no man deceive you by... Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good men. And he's not talking about burping at the table. He's talking about how you live your life. And evil communication. Evil communications will destroy every church member that we have. And every pastor. Yep. Bible colleges. That's the replacement for the Word of God. Well, he's Dr. So-and-so. He ought to know. Greek? Hebrew? Who can read that? I got a $100 bill in my wallet if you can read that to me. See, I knew I was going to keep that one. So. It's in Hebrew. That was in Greek. There you go. I'll accept that one. Acts 2. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we ever man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" God swore that we would get His Word in our language. He swore it. "For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak." Isaiah, that's how Isaiah said it. Here's how Paul said it. Where is it? I don't have it. Paul said, and see, this is my point. Paul was given an alternative way of saying Isaiah 20:11, "For stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." And yet the Holy Ghost delivered to Paul, write it this way, "For with men of other tongues and other lips." Well, what he was doing, he was reading from the Greek Septuagint, and that's it. No! The Holy Ghost gave him the words to write down. Paul, write it down this way. It's a little different, but that's how I want it. Because your left eye sees a little bit different than your right eye does. But you put them together. If you ever notice in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the inscription over the cross is not the same in all four Gospels. And yet, if you'll write it all out, add it all together, you'll get the whole picture of what exactly was written over the head of Jesus from all four Gospels. God wanted it that way. "Stay yourselves, wonder, cry ye out, and cry, they are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and close your eyes, the prophets and rulers, the seers hath he covered." I got to move on. Commentaries. The only commentary that I have is my King James Bible. You're to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And if you don't know what a passage means, ask the author. Ask the author, because he's standing right there. He's right there with you. But that's what's replaced biblical authority in the churches. "Know this verse, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." Did you notice that on the cover page of the King James that says, "The authorized version with the former translations diligently compared and revised." Did you ever notice that? So the smart guys say, "Well, they didn't even stick to the Greek and Hebrew. They went to other..." They were supposed to. They were supposed to make sure that what it said in Latin or Italian or German, they consulted Martin Luther's Bible. They consulted other translations. They went back into former English translations to make sure that what was said in English was what was said to other people of other languages. No private interpretation. So they advertise the modern versions as a completely new and fresh translation. They're wrong. "Which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Let me move on. This is what's replacing biblical authority in our churches. See that? This is why I'm calling her out to be a witch. Because she is. You just wait for it. I'll send it to you if you want it. The rich preachers, women preachers, which ought not be. Amen. This is what's replaced the Bible. Let's pound the drums. Move the lights. Give them an experience in the pews that you can get at any ball game. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. You never change. You who? Dare to Share Ministries, Youth Workers Convention, D6. You know what the theme of the D6 conference was a few years ago? How can we change the DNA of our churches? This is from an advertisement, Future of Youth Ministry. The best predictions of the future of youth ministry will come from those doing youth ministry. Research and direction will come from professors, researchers, and retired youth ministers, consultants. But the choice to align youth ministry with the best practices remains in... Where's God here? Where's God? Where's the Holy Ghost? Where's the Bible? Gone. So, you're going to the church. Youth pastor wants to take the youth group aside out to the gymnasium so they can have church out there. Don't let them. Put your foot down. Preachers, I mentioned this a while ago, who quote everybody in the world. Abraham Lincoln said, Barack Obama said, Mahatma Gandhi said, I caught a preacher. Somebody went and visited his church out in Oklahoma, Tulsa. I went to Bible college with him. And they didn't know that I knew the guy. And they said, Pastor, we visited his church and he had his notes printed out, sermon notes printed out, and he handed it out to everybody. And we're looking at it, we're going, it don't look right. So they sent it to me. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, I know Toby. That ain't Toby. So I looked it up. He quoted, word for word, his sermon notes from Your Best Life Now. So I said, what did he do the rest of the week? And he copied his sermon out of a book. Went and played golf, I know him. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Contemplative prayer moves in. I got to move on. Contemplative prayer moves in. Contemplative prayer, they call it whispering prayers. They reach the inner self. It's silence. God speaks to us in silence. They say, empty your mind. Let your mind create a space in your mind for God to move in. God don't need you creating nothing for Him to move in. God wants to move in, He moves in. Amen. That's how He did it in your life, isn't it? He moved in. I stand at the door and knock. Amen. They say, empty, void your mind out. That's Eastern mysticism. Signs and wonders. This kind of stuff moves in. Wonders. Spirit. People are already coming in with testimonies on ways the Lord's touched them during the school. During one of the services, Todd prayed that everyone would begin having dreams and visions. There was an overwhelming response for those who had their eyes open. Eyes open. That's exactly what Satan promised Eve. So dreams and visions now have replaced the Word of God in churches. Prophets prophesy falsely. Dreams and visions. Behold, I am against them, prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. This guy, Mark Verkler, was on It's Supernatural. Had a book called How to Hear God's Voice. He said, I went through several things. He said, I spent a year praying, didn't hear from God. He said, I spent a year reading the Bible, didn't hear from God. Then one day, God showed me how I could hear from Him. So I went in, closed the door, emptied my mind out, and God started speaking. I heard this voice inside me, whispering. Let me ask you a question. Does God whisper? A still, small voice is not a whisper. Familiar spirits whisper out of the ground, don't they? And that's what this guy did. So he said, everything that I heard from God, I wrote down, and that was God's word to me for that day. He replaced his Bible. He didn't believe it. He read the Bible and said, I couldn't hear God's voice. Neil Donald Walsh wrote Conversations with God, New Age stuff. He said, words are really the least effective communicator. They are most open to misinterpretation, most often misunderstood. They are not truth. They are not the real thing. Words can only symbolize what you know and can often confuse what you know. But words make up our Bible and they make up our DNA. Words do. Jesus is the Word. Concerning books in the Bible, he said those are not authoritative sources. He said God told him this. So you watch for some of this stuff moving in. You watch for the youth pastors. who want to take the kids aside and teach them occult methods for hearing this inner whisper, or creating space for God, or we must worship God so that He will. I don't worship God to get something. I've already got it. I worship Him because I have it already. Experiences replace the Bible. I asked this question a few years ago. Do we believe that a person can be saved without the Word of God? Can we get somebody to an altar without the Word of God? Happens all the time. Christian mysticism's moving in. Angel dust, gold, feathers coming down. Listening to angels, which are familiar spirits. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel on you, the angel moron I came down to Joe Smith, showed him where the gold plates were. That was another gospel. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. That's what Fenton John Hort did when he joined that secret society and wrote out that curse. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Isn't that interesting that God's going to judge us on our faith? He's going to judge them on their works. I'm done. That means I'm done. I put that in there deliberately because I'm supposed to shut up now. People, don't change. And don't meddle with them that change. Don't join up with them. Don't sign up with them. Don't go to their conferences. Stay away from them because they're dangerous. Satan is subtle. He will move in quietly, secretly, 1 millimeter at a time as he moves in and takes over all the churches.